It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. Welcome, welcome. It's great to have you with us this fine winter's eve. Now I trust you're all warm and cozy, wherever you are tonight. And I trust that you're in the mood for a few spooky stories. Well, I certainly hope so, because tonight I have a great little show lined up for you. Now, per usual, I have all kinds of strange stories and terrifying tales to share. But the twist here being that each and every call has one common denominator. And let's see if you can guess it based off of this following entry, sent in anonymously from parts unknown.
Hi, Derek. I'd like to remain anonymous. I was locked up for reasons. I was inside for 18 months. For 10 of those months, I was pregnant. I did not know about it before I was arrested. But anyways, there were a lot of things that happened in the different facilities that I went to. These all happened in Georgia. There were times when you'd be sitting quietly in your cell and you would hear this demonic growling out of the corner of a cell. You'd hear talking when nobody was awake. I can't really prove that one because there were 48 women on this block, but, you know, there was a schedule. So most of the time, between certain times of night, they really were asleep. There were times when you would get touched or pushed. Anyways, I'm getting a little off track here. I wanted to tell you one instance. Like I said, I was pregnant. I had told the guards that if I had that baby in jail, that I would kill myself. That didn't happen, obviously, because I'm still here. But I had told them they had better put me on suicide watch if I gave birth and was still locked up. There was one day I was hiding underneath the staircase because I was getting closer and closer to my delivery date, and a court date was not in my future. A lot of women in the day room would walk circles around the benches and the picnic tables. Well, this one woman, I didn't say two words to her. She came up to me and she laid hands on me. And I hadn't seen the sun in 7 months. There was a little hole in the skylight, but it was very blurry. It's a very depressing place, obviously. I had always battled depression since I was 13. This woman, she laid hands on me, and it was an amazing feeling. I'm spiritual, now, but in my time that I was in prison, I read the whole Bible back to front, front to back, found some kind of feeling, you know, I believe in God, but I believe in gods and goddesses too. But when this woman put her hands on me, closed her eyes, I just sat there like it was honey dripping on my head. And I literally felt this weight lifted off of me. I know it's stupid, and I know depression is not so easily cured, but that day when that woman put her hands on me, I was still in jail. I even experienced the prison system, but I was no longer depressed. I had my child in jail. I was put on a week-long suicide watch. I was numb afterwards, but the guard that was on suicide watch helped. Everyone who could helped me, jail and prison, they're not always as evil as people say they are. There are good people in there that will help you. I guess I just wanted to tell that story because there are other people out there who have been in jail, who have been to prison, who probably think that there's no one who's going to listen to them tell their stories. But I would love to open that line of conversation up because nobody listens to us. We're just labeled as evil and bad, and we did bad by society. I'm sure if you opened up that conversation, you would get a lot of phone calls. But thank you for listening. It means a lot to a lot of people. Bye.
Thanks for the entry. No, I think that's a splendid idea, caller. That's why tonight I've decided to do an all-jail/all-prison episode. So this evening we will hear from those behind bars, those that work on the inside, folks just visiting, and much, much more. After all, nearly 2 million people are currently incarcerated in the U.S. That's 1,566 state prisons, 98 federal prisons, 3,116 local jails, 1,277 juvenile correction facilities, 133 immigration detention facilities, and 80 Indian country jails. And that's not even counting those in military prisons, civil commitment centers, state psychiatric hospitals, and prisons in U.S. territories. All in all, that's a lot of people with their lives on hold. And as you're about to hear tonight, that sort of situation can lend itself to paranormal activity. So we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we'll explore more of these stories from the inside. Don't touch that dial.
Fill your box and send it in.
We can help you erase credit card debt.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
That experience meant the world to her.
How to navigate difficulties like financial worries.
Now, as one might imagine, the following episode needs a blanket trigger warning. Suicide, death, drugs, crime, and even murder lie ahead. So, proceed at your own discretion. That said, this next one takes us back on the inside. Please, welcome Anonymous from Parts Unknown.
Hey, Derek, you wanted some paranormal stories from inside of the jail from an inmate. Well, I served some jail time in the Salt Lake County Jail, which is known as ADC, Adult Detention Center. I would like to stay anonymous. I was fighting a case, and I spent over a year and a half in there. And the things I experienced were mainly when I would be in my cell, I was on the top part, and there was a mezzanine in front of our cell, and it was plexiglass. Well, there would be a little watchtower inside the pod that we were at, and I would see someone walk in the mezzanine, but they would never pass myself. and I would double check, and the guard that was stationed in the pod would be still sitting at his desk. Because every hour or so, they have to do a walk around. And it wouldn't be him. And another thing that I experienced there is during clothing change, we would get out of our cell, and we would have to walk out with our old clothes into a big basket and get our new clothes. And then when we would come up through to go back to our cell, I would always see my cellmate go in our cell before me every single time. But when I would get in there, nobody would be in there. A couple of times I came in talking to him and no one's there. I got in the habit of making sure that this would happen. And I would always see him walk in front of me, go into our cell. I would go into our cell, but he was never in there. He was always behind me. Not right behind me. I mean, a couple of people back from behind me. When men are changing, you have to, like, cover yourself with a towel if a guard lets you, or you all have to be naked. You get some distance, you know what I mean? But always seen that happen. I also experienced a guard rushing into my cell. And I mean five guards. They came in rushing. My cell door popped open and it's a loud clank. And I was reading a book and I heard the door pop and five guards rushed in. And I'm like, what is going on? And they're like, we heard someone screaming in here saying, help me for their life over the intercom system. Because there's a speaker in the cell. And that cell was crazy. I would always see something drip from the ceiling. And nothing was ever wet. Nothing was ever off. It was one of the craziest experiences I've had. You know, paranormal when I was in jail. Others were, you know, call me Joe Source. Thanks for the podcast. Have a good night.
Thank you, caller, for answering my call to action. Now, I'd put the word out a good while ago that I was looking for stories from behind bars. And many of you responded to that call, enough to constitute this full episode. And it's not hard to see why, either. Details like what our latest caller just delivered seem to be commonplace in most of these establishments. Now, folks, if you have a story you would like to share here on the program, give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, wouldn't you know, haunted isn't the only thing these prisons tend to be. If our next caller's story is accurate, perhaps they're visited as well. Please welcome Santos out of the state of Texas.
Hello, my name is Santos. I live in Texas, Central Texas, that is, a town called Bastrop, Texas. Lived here all my life. Recently moved not too long ago, but this happened in 1994, 95, I believe. I was either 14 or 15 years old. And this happened in a subdivision called LBA. That stands for Lake Bastrop Acres. And in the subdivision, there is a prison. I don't know the name of the prison. I don't even know how long it's been there, but it's been there for quite some time. Well, anyways, was spending the night at my buddy's house at the time. And in front of his yard is a concrete pillar. And it's like a concrete platform that's off the ground. And a lot of people's property that live out there have concrete pillars on their land or property. And I didn't know this at the time, but I don't know if it was the 40s, 50s, or 60s. Lake Bastrop Acres, that was a military base. But anyways, back to the story. It was nighttime, a clear night, calm night, and we had made a little fire. We were camping out on that concrete pillar. So we had a fire going. There was a couple trees that were growing on the sides of that concrete pillar. You know, it was just us being boys at the time, you know, camping out. And so It was a calm night, like I said. We had a fire going. Then, you know, it might have been after midnight, probably. All of a sudden, it just got super windy. So me and my buddy were concerned about the embers, like, catching something else on fire. We were, like, trying to die the fire down. So something caught my eye towards the prison. And when I looked, there was a bright light in the sky. Didn't make a sound. There was no sounds of helicopter, plane, nothing. And it was still. It wasn't moving. It was still. And it wasn't directly over the prison. It was on the side of the prison in the sky. So I told my buddy, look, look. And he looked at it as well. And we were just looking at it, you know. And all of a sudden, a beam came from the bottom of that light source. And the beam was a different color than the light source. The beam was the color of like a modern day LED color, like a blue tint. And so the beam came down, I'm going to say about 100 feet from the light source. And it stopped from there. And then it shot another beam at an angle towards the prison. It came down and it hit the prison. And the prison has lights, like amber lights, all around the prison. And it's gated. They even have guard patrol, I guess, that rides around the prison at night and today as well. But when the beam hit the prison, all the lights in the prison had cut off. So it was completely dark over there where the prison's at. So when that happened, me and my buddy just jump off the concrete pillar. We run to the front of the house, knocked on the door, banging on the door. He ran off the porch. We ran to the back, banging on the door there. And finally, you know, I think it was his mom, opened the door. We ran in there as quick as possible. We were scared, me and my buddy. We told his parents. I don't know whatever happened after that, but, you know, like I said, this happened 94, 95, and I'll never forget it. So thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Santos. A bluish-white light outside the local prison. You know, this is probably so obvious that Santos didn't bother bringing it up, but I do wonder if these weren't simply searchlights shining up into the air. Then again, I think we all know exactly what searchlights look like. So in this case, we'll just take Santos's word for it. And what he had to tell us was quite intriguing. Thanks again, Santos, for making the call.
He's always been aware. Has anyone from my...
No reason to suggest that he would be incapable of having read it.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The dumbest thing up here.
Married the Pharaoh's daughter.
Now our next call from the joint comes to us out of West Virginia. Please welcome Matt to the airwaves.
Hey, Derek, this is Matthew Morgan. I'm calling from West Virginia. I come from a long line of Morgans. My sixth great-grandfather was the first white settler of West Virginia. He had many sons. One of them would have been my fifth great-grandfather, David Morgan. Helped build Prickett's Fort, which is in Fairmont, West Virginia, and still stands to this day. If you Google David Morgan, you'll find a historical marker sign in West Virginia that tells a story about him having a dream that saved his two kids' lives. And I'm not going to get into that, but I'm going to tell you how DNA passes on. Anyways, I end up getting in trouble whenever I was around 22. End up going to jail West Virginia prison for getting tricked into selling weed. While I was in there, I had this dream. And I'm in Wheeling, West Virginia, and it's after the apocalypse. And there's people in there in buildings, and they're trying to survive. And I'm at this building, and my car's broke down. And I'm with somebody. And a lot of the times in my dreams, I got a partner, like somebody who's there helping me. But I always get the impression they're like one of my best friends. And he tells me we had to stop at this building to find this girl. Her name was Alice. We go into this building and it's a long hallway. And on the left side of this hallway are nothing but doors. I noticed that some of the doors were open, some were shut. The ones that were open, as we walked by them, the room was as wide as the door. And each room had a bed in it. And the bed was literally touching three walls. And in front of the bed was enough space that you could walk in the room, shut the door, and stand there or crawl in the bed from the foot of it. Some of the rooms had people sleeping in bed. Some of them didn't. We come around the corner, and there's this girl with bleach blonde hair, long, in dreads. And the person I was there with said, "That's the girl we came here for." And we tell this girl, "Listen, you got to come with us." And she says, "Where are we going?" And I say, "I don't know." She says, "Oh, I know where we're going." She gets up, and one of the guys in this room says, "Hey, I'm mad at you." And she says, "Why?" And he says, "Because you didn't give me a blow, you know." So we get this girl and we start hitchhiking, and somebody picks us up in a pickup truck. After a couple hours of driving, this girl just starts shouting, "Stop, we're here, we're here, we're here." And when we stop, on the left side of the road is a church. And this girl jumps out of the truck and she goes running into this church. And my friend says, "Stop her." We go into this church and it's like they're having a nighttime revival. And as we walk in, the aisleway goes straight down to the stage and there's chairs on the left, chairs on the right. And somebody takes my friend and says, "Here, I got a seat for you over here." And somebody walks up to me and says, "I got a seat for you over here." And they're spacing us apart. They put my friend on the right, me on the left, facing the stage. I go to sit down, and there's all these people, and the preacher says, "She's here, she's here," in this like Southern accent. And when he says that, all these people start cheering. This preacher starts chanting. My first impression was, this is some ancient language. And this girl starts rolling her eyes in the back of her head and starts going into a chant herself. And all these people start rising up out of their chairs and they're putting their hands in their air. And I realize that I'm in the middle of a bunch of devil worshipers. And I stand up and I say, "I got to get out of here." And all of a sudden, somebody grabs a hold of my right leg. And when he grabs a hold of my leg right up above my knee, he says, "You're not going anywhere." Electricity starts shooting through my leg and I fall into my seat. And all of a sudden, I'm looking out the window in front of me. And these clouds start rolling in. I mean, it was night when we got there, but when I seen these clouds, it's like it's daylight outside and they start rolling like somebody recorded it and put it on fast forward. And there's so much electricity surging through my leg that I pass out. When I wake up, everybody in the room is dead. Every one of them are laying on the floor and there is blood everywhere. I'm the only one in my seat. And I stand up and I'm looking around. The girl's gone. Preacher's gone. And I see some people in these white lab coats at the back of the room washing their hands in a sink. And I wake up. When I wake up,
my leg feels like there is electricity surging through it. And I don't mean a little bit. I mean, it took my breath away. To fast forward, that was 2004-ish. I ended up getting hurt at work. Had my right ankle crushed by a forklift, the same one from the leg that this electricity was surging through in this dream. And I ended up being run through the pill mill, and I ended up with a lot of problems from taking pain medicine. So about 3 years ago, I put myself into a rehab to try to get better. And the very first rehab I go to is in Wheeling, West Virginia. As I approached the building, I noticed it's the same exact building from my dream from almost 20 years earlier. And when I was in there, I noticed that the lighting going down the hallways was the exact same lighting that was in the hallway in my dream, where I seen all these rooms with beds in them. I spent 13 days there, and I ended up going to a real rehab. It was like a doorway to one, and it's clear down on Point Pleasant, West Virginia. So I get in a vehicle. I had to hitch a ride, which is another detail in my dream. I thought it was kind of funny. I had to hitch a ride. And I'm riding for a couple hours. When I get to Point Pleasant, the building of the rehab is the exact same building from my dream. The church is what I'm talking about. It was exactly the same building. And it scared me. The exact layout, everything. So I go into this rehab, and as I'm going down the hallway, I start seeing doors that are open and doors that are shut, and I see people in sleeping bed and beds that are empty, and I start thinking, man, this is a lot like that dream. So anyways, I'm in there, it's like day 20, and all of a sudden we get new patients. One is a guy and one is his girlfriend. His girlfriend has bleach blonde hair. It's long. It's dreaded. It's the same exact girl from my dream. And guess what? Her name is Alice. So the very next day after they came in, we're standing in line for medicine. And I'm standing behind these two people. And he says, I'm mad at you. And she said, why? And he said, because you didn't give me a blow, you know. And when I heard that, my heart starts racing. And I say to myself, this is not a coincidence. This is a warning. And I realize that something bad and evil is going on around me right now. Well, the guy and the girl end up leaving. They just walked right out. They wasn't even there for 24 hours. So I start telling all my friends, hey, something bad's getting ready to happen, and this is why. And people don't believe me. Then about 4 in the afternoon came around, something bad happened at that rehab. It caught on fire. And they had us all outside from 4 in the afternoon to about 2 o'clock in the morning. This fire started up in the ceiling. You couldn't even get to it. They had to literally cut a hole in the drywall to get to this place up in the ceiling. And it didn't do too much damage because they got to it quick enough. But as we were all standing outside, I'm telling people about this. And I have other people who are like, listen to what he's saying. He told me something bad was going to happen, and it did. And it creeped out a lot of people. And for people out there who are listening, demons are real. The devil is very real. And God is the most realest of all. That's why it's very important to be a good person, walk a good path. I hope you all have a good night. Thank you, Derek, for letting me tell this story.
Thanks, Matt. I agree. Be a good person no matter what you believe in. And what an incredible story. It all tied together quite nicely. Very impressive. Now, Matt mentioned that he is a descendant of Captain David Morgan of the state of West Virginia. And he also mentioned that Captain Morgan had a premonition that saved his children's lives. Now, essentially, Captain Morgan was in bed with a fever when he dreamed that his children were being attacked by Native warriors just outside the fort's walls. The dream was so persistent that he got himself out of bed to track down his children, only to learn that they had gone outside the fort's walls to chase a cow that had gotten loose. By the time Morgan caught up with them, they were under attack by none other than two Native warriors. In the skirmish, Captain Morgan killed the two men and took his children back to the fort unharmed. Now, apparently, premonitions run in that family. At least that's what Matt is claiming. Thank you again, Matt, for taking the time to share your entry and giving us the history lesson as well. Now, gang, before we move on, a quick reminder to visit our merchandise shop. Doing so not only gives you direct access to official Monsters Among Us gear, but also each and every purchase you make goes directly to help the show grow and continue. So visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click that shop tab and take a look. We sure would appreciate it. Now, this next jailhouse entry comes to us from a different perspective. Please welcome Sean from the state of Kentucky.
Hello, Derek. This is Sean from Kentucky again. I used to be a correctional officer, and I worked in that line for about 9 years. I'm calling in today with something that occurred while I was working at the jail. The jail I worked at was built around 1990, but it was actually built onto what the old jail that had been there for decades prior. Long story short, I was getting an inmate's boots out of the property room because this particular inmate was going to be put out on a work detail and it was going to need actual shoes to go out, weed eat ditches, that sort of thing. So I went to the property room and got the boots and set them down on a desk. Went out of that room to check a computer in the booking area to verify I had the right property. And when I went back into the room, the boots were gone. Now, here's the thing. There's only one way in and out of that room, and they would have had to have gone right by me in the booking room. There was other doors in there, but they got electronic locks on them, and when these locks open, it's loud. There, you can hear the electronic motor pulling the bar back, and then there's a loud pop once it actually disengages from the wall. So you would have heard those doors opening and closing. After I looked around for a bit, I discovered that the boots were tucked under the desk. But once again, no one had been in and out of that room during that time period other than myself. Now, for years, if you got on YouTube and typed in jail ghost, you would get a video from our security system that was from that particular room. And in this video, it went on for about 5 minutes, you would see, and I know it's cliche, an orb move across the top of the screen and go over to a stack of file boxes. After the orb went across to the top of the screen, after a couple moments, that stack of boxes falls over. But for years now, I've not been able to find that video again. I'm going to assume it's buried somewhere deep down in the search results now, when it used to be the very first video you got when you typed jail ghost on YouTube. That's my story. I have some more. I look forward to sharing that.
Thank you, Sean. Now, full disclosure, we tried to locate the video Sean was referring to, but we weren't able to find it either. But if you have access to it, or you know what Sean is talking about, send us the link, and I'll be sure to update the show notes. Now, I do not doubt your experience one bit, Sean, because like schools and hospitals, jails and prisons too seem to hold or attract some kind of paranormal energy. Amazing stuff, Sean. And like I said, from a different perspective. Thanks again for calling in.
This message is brought to you by Pete.
We're going to be playing Brainwave today. Are you...
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now, when it comes to incarceration, there are a few states that seem to excel in locking folks up. States like Illinois, Ohio, New York, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, which all top the list of inmates per capita. But one state overshadows them all, and that's where we're headed next. Please welcome Kathy, out of the state of Texas.
Hi, this is Kathy calling from San Benito, Texas, and I'm calling about the haunted juvenile and boot camp detention center there in San Benito, Texas. So it all started because when I was young, I used to get in trouble a lot and unfortunately ended up in that juvenile detention center many times. So the detention officers, they were basically like babysitting us, right? And one of the first times that I was there, one day I'm there talking to the detention officer and she's telling me that she's upset that they're going to make her do night shift, that she had already told them she never wanted to do night shift again. And I was like, why don't you like night shift? And she said, well, I'm scared because of the little girl. And I said, what little girl? And she said, the little girl ghost. And so the story that was told to me back then was that there was a little girl back in the day before the boot camp and the juvie were built that was walking home from a party. And she unfortunately was murdered on that land that later on the juvie and the boot camp were built, and that she haunts the land. So she said that she had heard many stories about the little girl, but then one day she finally saw her for herself. So she said that she was doing the night shift and that her and like the other detention officers would hang out in the control center or in this like lobby kind of area. And that every, you know, 15 to 20 minutes or whatever, they had to go back into the pod. So they would go door by door. It's only one person per cell. And the cell door had a window. So they would have to go look in the window, make sure that, you know, we were alive. Okay, go on to the next one. So she said one day she's going to go do her rounds and she's walking into the pod and it's all glass all around. So as she's walking up to the pod, she can see, since it's all glass, that there's a girl in there. And she's getting closer and closer and she sees that this girl is basically doing her job. Going around, going up to the door, squatting down, looking in the window, and then scurrying on to the next one. So the detention officer, she screams, runs out, says, oh my God, there's a girl in there. So of course they all know about the little girl ghost, but they have to take it serious and assume it's a real person is in there. They go check, they do like a search everywhere. There's nobody. Patrol center is checking the cameras. Nobody came in. There was no explanation for what she saw. So then, another time, I was talking to this one girl, and she said, well, my aunt is actually the administrator from here. She tells us all these stories about the little girl goes and haunts here. And so, since her niece was locked up, she would come over here and check on her every night. So she said, when she comes tonight to check on me, I'm going to tell her to tell us one of her stories. when she came in and her niece asked her to tell me a story, she did. She said that one day they were outside of court. So the area where court is like this, like lobby area. There's one door leads you to the courtroom. Another door is like the intake where they bring new people in. And then the door in the back leads you to over there, like where the cells are and stuff, right? But in that open area, it was like pretty hectic because it was court time. And all of a sudden, there's a little girl there, just standing like in the middle of this lobby area. And the administrator was there. So she was like, who is this girl? Like, what is she doing here? Because the only people that can come through past there are lawyers, juveniles, or staff members, like nobody else. And this girl was not dressed in, you know, a jumpsuit. So she goes up to her and she asks her, like, who are you? Like, how did you get in here? And the girl's just staring at her, doesn't say anything. Everybody is seeing this girl. She's like, did you come in through court? Like, you need to go back. She's just staring at her. She's not saying anything. So then she calls the intake and she says, are y'all intaking someone? And they're like, no, like we haven't intaked anybody all day. No, we're not. And so she calls control room and she's like, can you see where this girl came from? Like, she's not responding to us. And the control room says, I'm checking the security footage. You're not gonna believe it. But she's not there. And then she's there. And so she's looking at her and she asks the control room, can you see her right now? He says, yes, like she's still there. And then in that moment, she just disappeared. There's so much footage of this little girl captured on, you know, the security cameras. But I guess because it's a juvenile and they're underage, like they don't release this footage. But I mean, it's crazy. So one day, a supper time, if you behaved good, once a week, they would take you to this open living room area where they had like air hockey and like some other things. And they would let us play there for like an hour. If you had behaved bad, you have to stay locked up in your room, in your cell, while we're out here doing this. So it was that time of the week. And the detention officer that is taking care of us says, y'all behave. I need to go over there and check on room number 5. So the girl in room number 5, she had been misbehaving, so she couldn't come out. And, you know, they have to go and check on you every so often when you're in your room. As she's walking that way, she starts saying, room 5, get away from the door, because you're not allowed to stand at the door. There's like a window. So she's like, get away from the door as she's walking closer. So we all look over there because she's like yelling at her. And we see, you know, somebody standing at the door, like in the window, like we can see her. It looked like her. And then the staff member keeps yelling, like, get away from the window. I'm not going to tell you again. And she gets all the way up to the door. And all of a sudden, she comes running out screaming at the top of her lungs. She collapses at our feet, crying, screaming, I saw the little girl. I saw the little girl. We were like, oh my God. Like, we were freaked out. So I guess control room saw this and they called the administrator. It's a different administrator now. It's a man. And so he comes and she tells him that she goes up to the door and the little girl is standing there inside the cell staring back at her and that the girl on 5 was actually asleep on the bed. And she's staring at her at first, freaked out, like, why is there 2 girls in this room? One's asleep, one is staring at her, a girl she's never seen before. When all of a sudden the girl just disappears. And the administrator is like, there's no way, like you're imagining things. And she's like, what do you mean? I just got here. Like I just started, I didn't have a long day. Like you guys all know about the little girl. Anyway, she had been working there for so long. She quit. She moved over to go work at the boot camp because they're 2 totally different facilities, but they're on the same ground. And little did she know, the little girl goes haunts over there too. So one day I got transferred to the boot camp. And it was way more serious environment over there. Nobody was talking about the little girl ghost. One day I'm asleep and I'm facing the wall. And for some reason, I just wake up. I decide to turn over and look at the door. And there, standing at the door, is a girl. And I can see her from the nose up. And I can still see her face right now in my mind. I'll never forget it. She looked 100% like a real human. She wasn't see-through. She wasn't blurry. I can see the details on her face. I could see the details of her eyebrows, of her eyes. I stayed staring at her for a long time. I just woke up and I was trying to figure out who is standing at the door. Everybody's locked up. You can't get out. Who is that? At the time at the boot camp, there was only like three other girls. None of them looked like that. And I mean, I could even see like her frizzy hair sticking up from the top of her head. I could see that her part down the middle of her head. I was looking at a Hispanic girl and it just hit me. And I knew, oh my God, I'm looking at the little girl. So I was like, the only thing I can do now is just pretend that I didn't see her. So I just turned back over, put the covers over my head. I was terrified. I don't know how I was able to make myself fall asleep. But after that, the next day, I told the staff member, she was still there in the morning. I didn't think that she was going to even talk to me about it. But surprisingly, she was like, it's okay. I've seen her too. Like, she's not going to hurt you. So then I told another sergeant, and he was an old man, and apparently he'd been working at the Juvie when it opened. And apparently he sees her all the time and even talks to her. So I told him about it. He told me the same thing, like confirming that she's real and that she's not going to hurt me. And we were sitting down in this hallway. It was like shift change, so we were just sitting there just waiting for them to do that. So it was right next to the control room, and the control room was open. Now, the lady that worked in the control room was a major a-hole. Anyway, I thought, I want to tell her because she's in the control room. I'm sure she's probably seen something. So I told her, I was like, ma'am, I saw the little girl ghost last night. She's like, wow, like, so what happened? So I told her. Surprisingly, she talked to me about it. And then I said, have you ever seen her? And she said yes. And so she told me her story that one night she was in the control room and that there's a gate and there's a camera above the gate. So all of a sudden she's working and she hears like the alarm go off, like somebody is pressing the button at the gate trying to come in. And it was like 3 a.m. So she looks in the camera and she sees that there's a girl there. And the girl's looking up at the camera. And so there's like a speaker, right? And so she asks like, what are you doing here? It's 3 a.m. Who are you? You're trespassing. Like, you need to leave. And the girl's just looking at her, staring up the camera, not saying anything. And she tells her, like, press the button and talk to me back. Who are you? What are you doing here? She's just ignoring her and she's just staring up at the camera. So she says, I'm going to call the police and you're going to get arrested for trespassing. You need to leave. And the girl just disappeared right in front of her eyes on the camera. She's like, I've replayed that footage over and over again. I've showed everybody, like, no explanation for how she just vanished. You know, many years later, I've always gone back and I've looked it up trying to see who can this girl be. But in the research I've done, I did find that in the 80s, it was a teenage girl. I think she was about 15 years old. She was at a party and some group of guys, they supposedly are giving her a ride home, but instead they kill her at one location, but then they dump her body in a different one. And in the research I've done, I think it was the road that she was found on. The land of the Juvie, it's a square lot and there's streets around it. Well, one of those streets is same name as the name that this girl body was found on. The story is very similar to what that first sergeant told me. These guys ended up getting the death penalty, so their whole story is online. But there are no photos of her. If I could see a photo of her, I would be able to tell you 100% if that's her or not. It's a very extremely sad story, but it would make sense why maybe she is able to still, I don't know, have the energy to present herself, you know, like that. Maybe because the death was so violent and brutal. I don't know. I wanted to share, and hopefully anybody that knows anything about her can call in and tell their story. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy. Sounds like you might have solved your own mystery there. The story about the death of the young girl is completely true. Her name was Olga Perales, and she was tragically murdered back in 1984. I've linked to a single news story about her death over in the show notes. You can deep dive from there if you wish. Now, we also looked for a photograph of Olga, but we weren't able to find one. Now, if you happen to have access to one for whatever reason, please send it along and we'll try to get it over to Kathy. Now, I have to say, this is all a wild coincidence at the very least. Big thanks, Kathy, for taking the time to share the details of that tragic haunting.
All work is done in the U.S., and we're trusted by over a million...
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
46 yards pass and 3 touchdowns.
145-55.
Now we're nearing the end of our sentence, which puts us in that short timer phase. That means we're just about to get out. But not before I share these last few stories with you. Beginning with this one from our friend Mikey up there in Idaho.
Hi, Derek. This is Mikey from Idaho. This call that I'm making right now has taken some courage for me to call in to you. The reason that it's taking me courage to make this phone call is this paranormal story starts with a suicide attempt of mine. I overdosed. I ended up in the hospital. I was in a coma for 5 days. As a result of that overdose, I ended up violating my probation and going to jail. So first, it happened one night. We were up. It was probably 2 a.m. playing cards. There's only 3 of us right in this cell block because of COVID. My buddy said, wait, shh, shh, what is that? What is that? And I didn't hear what he was talking about. He just said nothing, nothing. And we kept playing. All of a sudden, I heard this flop, 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 flop. It sounded like flip-flops running across the floor. And it gives me goosebumps even thinking about it today. There was only 3 of us in this cell block, and I heard clear as day someone running across the floor in flip-flops. Flop, 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 flop. And then a little bit more time went by, and then all of a sudden there was a boom upstairs. There's different things that go on in the jail that could have, like, maybe that boom could have been a mechanical something, like air conditioner, but probably another 10 or 15 minutes went by. And I had my back up to a wall, and he was sitting on my bunk facing me, and we had a little table out, a little hard surface to play cards on. And behind me, where the wall was, I heard flop, 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 just these flip-flops. And then I felt this cold breeze, this cold air, whoosh. And I looked at him, I was like, did you do that? There's no way he could have done it. It scared the crap out of me, man. It was like one of the realist for sure experiences, but it gets even worse. We started to notice this thing, this ghost, and we found that the more you talked about it, the more these things would happen. I ended up moving cell blocks, and I was in a cell locked down all by myself every night at 10 o'clock. They would lock the cell doors, and I'd go in there, and every night, right when I would go to sleep, right when I was like in that state where you're half awake, half dreaming, I would feel somebody tink, tink, tink in a cell by myself. I would feel them tap on the bunk with their finger. That being alone in a cell by yourself, knowing there's no way there's another person doing this. And then I would feel it, whatever, the ghost, put its foot on my bunk like he was trying to climb up into the top bunk. Every night I would hear tink, tink, tink to the point where I was like, it was driving me insane because I was so scared. It was like the thing knew that I was just barely going to get to sleep. And it was trying to screw with my sleep. It was trying to keep me awake. It was trying to scare me. And so I was in this in-between like, well, am I really feeling this? Am I really hearing this? Or is this like a hypnagogic or exploding head syndrome sort of thing, you know? But the part that I couldn't say was hypnagogic was when I would feel the depression on the mattress when he'd put his foot down to climb up into the upper bunk. Every night I would just be so terrified for lights out because I knew that I would have to face this thing again. And so there had been probably 3 suicides in this jail I was in. I believe these guys, these poor kids that killed themselves in this jail, thinking they were going to escape the jail by killing themselves. Unfortunately, what actually happens is they end up sealing themselves in that jail for eternity, you know, and it would give me these terrible thoughts. I don't know how to put it. Like, it was trying to let me understand how someone could get into a state of mind where violence was pleasurable to them. It was so odd that I've never felt like that before. I've never been a violent person. And so it was like showing me, oh, see, wouldn't violence make you happy? Wouldn't it make you feel good? It was warping my mind. I don't know if it was a demon or I think it was those kids that had killed themselves just trapped in that jail. And so one night I got down on my hands and knees and I said, God, help this thing move on. I know it's one of these suicides and he's stuck here in this jail. Wherever he needs to go, let him go. It didn't stop completely that night, but within a month or two, it was gone. It wasn't happening anymore. I guess that's all there is for now. To anybody out there suffering, don't give up. Don't do it. There's something good out there. Just don't give up.
Thank you, Mikey. And good to hear from you again. Now, as if Mikey's story wasn't enough to convince you that these places seem to absorb and redistribute energy, let's also give this next story from Matt a quick listen. He's calling in from the state of Massachusetts.
Hey, Derek. This is Matt, longtime listener, first-time caller. This story happened 10 years ago in central Massachusetts. I was the overnight nurse at the local House of Correction. One night, the nurse at the main jail needed some assistance, so I went over to help her. As I was passing one cell block, I heard my name called multiple times. I went up into the corrections officer's little booth there. I said, hey guys, what's up? And they said, we weren't calling you, Matt. And so I thought they were just playing a joke on me. So I continued down and I helped the nurse. I was told from another corrections officer later that in 1985, a prisoner was held there by the name of Maurice Theriault, also known as Frenchie. Supposedly, he was possessed. Notorious hucksters Ed and Lorraine Warren brought in the Catholic Church to have exorcisms performed on this person. There's actually a book written about him. It was called Satan's Harvest, and it was written by Michael LaSalandra and Mark Miranda. It was written in 1989 about this person and their multiple exorcisms. Because Ed and Lorraine Warren were involved, I don't really believe it. But I acquired this book shortly after my friend told me the story. I thought it was an interesting read, but the most interesting part, the cool bit, was when I had finished the book, it was late at night, and as I read the last word, there was a giant clap of thunder and all the lights went out in the house. It was pretty cool. I wasn't scared because I'm a man of science. I don't get scared very often, but I thought it was a very interesting coincidence. I love the podcast. I wish you the best. Hope to hear this on the podcast. Bye, Derek.
Thanks, Matt. Even a man of science has had an experience in the clink that he couldn't quite explain. And how about that for yet another perspective? An overnight nurse at one of these facilities. Further proof that it's not just the inmates that are having these strange experiences. Thank you again, Matt, for sharing that unique point of view. Now to close us out here tonight and to offer up one last strange experience from behind bars is Lee from Down Under in Australia.
Hi, Derek. It's Lee from Picton in New South Wales, Australia. I know you're interested in jail stories, so I thought I'd phone this one through. So I was a correctional officer for over 28 years, and there was this one particular jail I worked at called Parramatta Jail. It's Parramatta. So this one particular night slash morning, I went to a cell with my colleagues and we had to get an inmate out for court. Now, what would happen? Take the inmate out to the reception room, get him changed, ready for the truck to pick him up, take him to court. Now, this particular cell had one inmate left in there. He was sound asleep when we locked the door. About 20 minutes later, we get a buzz from that cell, or as we called it, a knocker. We went there and this inmate, who barely spoke a word of English, he was white as a sheet. And he said, "Somebody's tucking me in and they're trying to talk to me." He goes, "Somebody's talking in my ear." I said, "Okay." I actually believed him, but I didn't let on, because you can't show that sort of vulnerability, maybe. That's just me. But I said, "No." I said, "You're probably just had a bad dream." I said, "Just go back to sleep. You'll be okay. It's nearly daylight." He said, "Okay, fair enough." So closed the door. About half an hour later, this particular cell knocked up again. So we've gone up there and we've opened the cell door, and this poor guy has tried to push past us just to get out of the cell. And he was so frantic. And he said, "It's still happening. Somebody's tucking me in and they're talking to me." And I checked this guy's record. He had no issues with mental health. He wasn't on drugs or anything like that. And I thought, this poor guy, I didn't tell him that. So I said, "Okay, we're going to move you to another cell." And we moved him to what we called a safe cell. That was where, say, if an inmate self-harms or they're going to self-harm, we'd put them there, take most of their clothes off them, depending on the situation. I said, "I'm going to put you in a safe cell." I said, "They're not going to be any clothes, and it's in the middle of winter. You're going to be freezing." He said, "Don't care. I don't care." So I said, "Okay, come on." We took him down to the safe cell and put him in there. And just to let you know, I did not take the clothes off the inmate because it was cold and he was not suicidal. He just was terrified. So I left him in there and I gave him a blanket. I made him a cup of coffee too. And he actually went to sleep. He was quite happy just to stay there. He didn't want to go back. I did a handover to the day shift senior and they scoffed. And I said, "Well, that's what's happening. Just give him a cell change." "Yep, okay, no problem." So I was on for the next four nights. And every night or morning at the same time, about 5 o'clock in the morning, that particular cell would knock up. Now, the thing is, there were no inmates in that cell for the next four nights. And I thought, that's just so bizarre. I still checked that out just in case there was somebody in there. You never know. But, yeah, absolutely no one in there. And every morning when this happened, I would report it to maintenance. Maintenance would check it out in the daytime and send me an email saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with that cell. There's nobody in there. There's nothing wrong with the electricals. I found out a few years later that that particular cell, a really, really gruesome murder occurred in there, like really bad. And that could be a part of it. I think it could be, but hey, they've turned from gruesome to friendly. They're tucking him in. Anyway, that's my story. I've got lots more to phone through. I love your show and I appreciate all the work your team put in. Thanks. Ta-da.
Thank you, Lee. Now, just for the record, the prison Lee worked at, Parramatta Jail, is infamously haunted. And having opened all the way back in 1798, that information should come as no surprise. In fact, if you find yourself in the area, you can even take a ghost tour there. Of course, I put links in the show notes. But yet another example of how these places seem to exude the paranormal. Now, folks, that's gonna do it for this episode. But a huge thanks to all of tonight's callers. And an even bigger thanks to each of you for tuning in here tonight. Now, do me a solid and share the show with friends and family. Word of mouth is priceless when it comes to programming like this. Now, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Join us on social media. Join us on YouTube. Join our Discord server. And leave us a rates and review wherever that kind of thing is possible. Now don't forget, you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UNX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. Now finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, watch our movie. Go to BoregoTriangle.com. Join us in the Beyond, MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com, and click the Patreon tab. And finally, don't forget about Monsters Among Us Junior. New episodes drop every other Wednesday. Until next time, folks, you keep it spooky. And have a good night.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.